English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
The motherfucking saga continues.
We got one person online, and the workload is enough for like 10 users. I think we got a hacker.
You've triggered a security violation call. System administrator has been notified. Record of this call has been logged.
I don't like my job. I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Over a TV network.
Finish up, honey, and get to sleep.
I don't play well with others.
Welcome, this is DTMF Radio, Season 2, Episode 1, with your host Crash Dust.
And they won't be Aaron.
Alright, we're a little pissed off, this is our, like, their fourth time recording, but due to audio difficulties, but, we apologize for the long delay between episodes. We had school, and we never updated the site, telling you what happened, so...
Well, actually, right now, we can't update the site, but we'll go over that after the show.
We can't update the site. Alright, whatever. We'll talk about that later. So, if you could just speak up a little, A13, when you do talk, it'd be great. But, we have a plethora of topics to cover.
Yep.
So we'll just start off with, what was one of the topics?
Well, we already went over while we were gone, right?
Right.
Okay, well, next on the list is your web server.
My web server. Yeah, alright. Well, many, few people know, but, I'm running a web server right now. I'm running an Apache web server, off my, just regular user internet account with Roadrunner. I do fear a little bit because my IP hasn't changed in well over 3 months, and I can just say that I've been doing a lot of trading on the internet, or downloading or uploading of files, I mean, exceeding 100 gigabytes each, and I don't know why my IP hasn't changed. I have turned off my modem for a day, turned it, plugged it back in, IP still doesn't change, so... I don't know if that's normal, but anyway, right now I'm running a proxy, and it's a PHP proxy, and I use it for at school to get around the blocking software or blocking ISP they use. It worked pretty well. If I'm not uploading or downloading any torrents at the time or doing any sharing of files, it goes pretty nice and fast. And I also have a CGI IRC client also on my web server that allows me to chat with you, the Tampa 2600 local people. So I can chat anywhere in the world from my home computer. Many of you say, what's the difference between that and SSH? I mean, if I SSH'd into my home computer, I could basically run BitJax and chat. But, you know, CGI is personally so much easier when people see you in a black and white window, they figure what you're doing, but if you're just a nice little web client, they don't really know what the fuck's going on. So, it's a lot safer to use at school than directly SSHing into your computer, because teachers don't know what it is, and it's very not suspicious looking. I'm also hosting some files for download on my web server. One is Pentagon, some flash animation. It's pretty cool. It's about the 9/11 Pentagon building thing, but it's pretty cool. So, if you do want to check that out, just shoot me an email at cr45du57@gmail.com, and I will give you a link to check it out. And, so you can check it out. I don't really want to give away the IP address on the show. So, so that's about all I have for my web server. So what's the next topic?
The next topic is your calculator.
Alright, my TI-83. Well, since school started, been pretty bored in class. And I have picked up programming the TI-83 as a hobby. It's very simple to use, and I'm thinking about writing a few text files. I'm doing some cool little tricks and some sample programs that I've written already for the TI-83. Most of them involve go-tos, label, and ifs and thens. It's pretty much just like BASIC or QBASIC, but it's you can do some pretty cool stuff, especially with the startup option. You can loop random number generators and make it start on startup, and a lot of people don't know how to get rid of it, and they just get all confused. It's pretty funny to watch. You can also make password protecting, and it's different cool options. So, that's pretty much all I have for that. I'll probably write a text file on it in the future for people not knowing how to start, because personally...
How much space can a program that you write take up?
How much space does the program I wrote take up?
No, how much is the maximum that it can take up?
Well, I have like 50 games on here already. So
you know how big those are?
I can go look right now. Hang on.
Just like give me a rough guess of how much space is on there. I was just wondering.
Oh, on the TI?
Yeah.
It's probably 5,000K.
Alright. That's pretty good.
It's like half a meg, I'm most. I know it's not that much, but if you're writing it on the calculator, it doesn't really take up that much space, so.
You know what you should do? That would totally rule or find.
Huh?
Some text-based RPG.
People do write those.
Yeah, that's some cool stuff.
Yeah, that'd take me about a month, but... I mean, all it is as simple as if-thens, displays, prompts, go-tos, and labels, and you can do pretty much anything on the TI-83. It just takes a long time, so. I recommend that in class when you're bored. Program on your TI-83.
Alright. Well, so, do you want to go to the next topic?
Sure.
Alright, the next topic is the Hurricane Francis. Now, I don't know exactly the numbers that they're putting out right now. I haven't been watching the other.
Hey, and I'll be right back. Just keep going.
But... Hurricane Francis is bearing down on Florida. People in Broward County like Stank and Zero DB, and I wish I could remember more than people's names that go to that meeting, but I can't right now, so I'll just say everybody. Kind of sucks for them because it looks like it's going to be headed right for them. Don't know how hard it's going to be when it hits, if it's going to weaken any before then, but it still looks like it's going to be terrible down there. Now me and Crash and everyone from Tampa,
all right, I'm back. What
name implies, we're like, I'd say 400 or 500 miles away from where it's going to hit, make landfall. So it's not going to be as bad when it gets here.
What's going on? I just came back.
Huh?
What's going on?
I'm just explaining where it's going and what it's going to do.
Yeah, well, Hillsborough County does have school out, if you didn't say that.
Yeah, Hillsborough, every county, I believe, has school out.
In Florida.
Yeah, I don't know everyone, but all the southern counties are out, and I just found out a little while ago that all the counties around where we are out, so I'm safe to assume that 90% of the counties in the state are out of school tomorrow.
Are you going to school?
Me? No, school is actually out. I thought it was in, but I was going to stay home anyway.
So
I just found out from my neighbor that school's canceled tomorrow, so I'll be staying home playing games from 6 a.m. till
2600
a.m. the next day.
Well, we're going to 2600 meeting, right?
I don't really know if I can make it yet. I'm still looking for a ride. I could get a ride from my dad. I don't know. Depends on how the weather is. If it's even raining, he's going to freak out and not want to take me.
All right. Well, I'm going to be there, so...
Anyways. Well, it's probably going to be too late for anyone. We'd have to release this right now and then make everyone listen to it, but people should still show up. It's not supposed to be here till Saturday.
Yeah, I want to talk about the 2600 meetings, actually. There's a subject there, man.
Yeah, well, let's finish the hurricane thing, and then you can go into that.
All right.
Yeah, when Charlie came through, it was supposed to come straight into Tampa, but as you probably know, it went into Punta Gorda first and ruined that place. I was the closest one to the hurricane, about 30 or 40 miles away from me, and all I got was one good gust of wind that I actually heard, and it was probably, I don't know, 30 miles an hour. And normal rain, the same rain we had been getting all week, just normal afternoon showers. The power didn't even go out once. Now, 3 days later, when just a normal thunderstorm came through, the power was out for 6 hours. And I hated that because my uptime on my Windows box had just got to a week.
And then
the power goes out. So, yeah. shouts to everyone down in Broward that has to go through this. I hope you guys make it through all right. Don't let anybody get hurt. I think that's it for the hurricane. If you want to pay attention, NOAA.gov, they have some pretty cool stuff. I know everyone probably knows about it, but... yeah, there you go.
So, anyway, on the subject of the Tampa 2600 meeting, or backing up, there's a post on the Broward County forums in the Tampa section relating to the Tampa 2600 meeting. Someone posted saying that they're going to start a St. Pete 2600 meeting. I responded saying, why don't we all just get together at one meeting first? I mean, I understand it's a very long drive for the St. Pete people, and that we could potentially relocate the meeting to a more centrally located place for both cities, because I think that if both cities got together and we got a larger base group for the meeting of 20 or plus, then we could eventually... I just want to establish a bigger meeting until we branch off. I don't think we should establish two separate meetings when there's a maximum of 5 people showing up a day. So, I'm going to probably post this MP3 on the forums there, saying, listen, because, it's not against me starting your own chapter or whatever. I totally support you, but, why don't we all just get together first and see how many people are showing up and so on and so forth, and, if we have to, we can relocate the meeting at, like, West Shore Mall or something. So it's not that far of a drive for both cities, because I totally understand that it's a very long drive for people in St. Pete to go to University Mall. And if we have, you know, a good amount of people showing up at the University Mall from St. Pete, we can most likely relocate the meeting.
It wasn't like University was the only option or even an option we had to call in. Do any research about it. It was just the first option. That's what was said, and we just went with it. So there was no planning involved. It's just worked so far. So if we need to change things, it's not like any of us run the place. But if we all agree to go somewhere else, that's fine. I don't really see a problem in it because we didn't plan that much ahead on where to go. I agree. If he wants to go and start his own, more power to him. Go for it. But there aren't that many people that show up regularly at Tampa, and there would just be half as many people at both places.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if they do want to do their own little meeting, it is going far ahead, but, I mean, we could hold, like, a bi-monthly two-city meeting, you know what I mean? If they really do want to branch off that much and start their own chapter or whatever, 2600 meeting, you know, they can, but bi-monthly or tri-monthly, we could hold a two-city meeting for all groups to get together and so that we can just, you know, have one big thing. I mean, I don't think, since, you know, only 5 people are showing up, like, regulars that are always going to be there kind of thing, it's not that good to, you know, start a different meeting. You should just get more of a base group, so, that's just my little semi-not rant, just advising kind of topic for the Tampa 2600 meeting, so, all the safety people that might listen to this, University Mall, first Friday of the month, 2600 meeting, upper 3 court level, in the back, so, just the little pimp for the 2600 meeting. What other topics do we have?
I think next is the old school freaking bland situation.
Yeah.
And us giving shouts to 2 fallen guests.
Well, what do you have to say first?
What do I have to say? I don't really know what to say, since when I came into the whole scene about the same time you did back last year in November,
mm-hmm.
It was pretty much 3 people, well, 5 people stuck out in all the posts I was reading. Spank, Decoder, M-Theory, Bland, and Duel. And whenever Icon was around him, those guys were always doing the cool stuff. The whole 944 project with Kizzle, and that just, wow, this is crazy stuff. I'll start getting into this. And I started listening to RFA, and that was the best radio I've ever listened to. Every episode was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Bland and Duel, they make good radio and they're funny together.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming them for leaving, but it kind of sucks.
Well, I can totally understand why they want to leave, but I mean, it is their decision. Life does get in the way. Obviously, it has for us. I mean, imagine if we were trying to make a family or something. I mean, this would be very hard to keep up with a job, a family, and so forth. People are like, you know, depending on you for things. School enough as it is gets in the way. So, I understand why they would want to, quote-unquote, leave the scene. But I think someone posted on the boards, I'm not sure if it was Kizzle or G.I. Joe or someone, I'm not sure, but they said, Bland, if you do leave forever and never read this again, just I want you to remember that you're always going to be a hacker because it's born into you, not something you just get rid of. And now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure that was Chorals, because huge shout out to Chorals, because it's true, you know, being a hacker is not so much as actions that you do, it's more of a mindset as the way you come up to things and the way that you dissect problems and, you know, do things. So it's not about, you know, all Stank, you know, Stank has the same beliefs. It's not all about hacking the computer system. So you can be a hacker in different ways, and that's a very big misunderstood thing in the public. And any other topics? I mean, I have a little shoot-off I can do on the Hacker Public stereotype, but I don't know if I should go into it yet.
Well, if you don't want to go into it, we can jump into the whole hairball situation.
Kizzle did post this a while ago, and he says, "'Tis the season for getting busted." And I thought it was pretty ironic because, you know, I just heard about Hairball getting busted. If you don't know who Hairball is, he runs HBX Networks, and they provide free shells, scopes.
Is it the link to that HBX.us?
Yes.
Okay.
Provide free shells. Well, they did. Provide Scope 6 project, which is a project dissecting code and making very small C exploits, weekly war dial project, and assortment of others that are in development.
Hacksaw Radio.
Yeah, Hacksaw Radio also. I think it's a real shame that this site is not yet rotten down, but yet they've mainly just destroyed the free shell project. I think mainly the reason, if you don't know what happened, I can sum it up for you. Hairball, he runs a free shell account service, to where you log in or telnet to the server and log in as new and get a free shell. I always did some messing around on there. I never did any illegal activities because I thought about running a free shell server myself for a while for the Tampa Bay area. And now that I see that the government doesn't like it very much, because if you give people unrestricted access to basically a gateway that they can go from that point anonymously and do things that they don't, quote-unquote, legal, they don't think highly of it. And they're charging him with storing over 2,000 credit card numbers. And I know it's not hairball, because I met him at Hope. He probably doesn't know that I met him, but I saw him and talked to him and found out about him. And he's not living richly. I don't even know if he had a room at Hope or not, so he's not using credit card for massive fraud. So, I mean, all I can say is that he's in my, heart, and that the government doesn't treat him like shit, because, I mean, how many cases have you heard of? I mean, there's at least, like, five where hackers have been treated like crap because people don't understand exactly what they did, and they just fear, and they, treat him like shit, and they get wrongly accused. So, and anyone out there is listening, and they do hear this about, and you did do something illegal on his shell server, I mean, you should be feeling pretty bad right now, because you got some guy arrested for providing you with free service. I mean, it's just wrong. I mean,
it was somebody's joke that someone took too seriously, and now someone's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know that it was probably just someone's joke, and that's usually what happens. Yeah, I don't think anyone would just dump those credit card numbers on there for no reason. If right. they were actually going to use them, they wouldn't give them out and just put them there. It had to have been a joke.
Yeah, a bad joke to play, and it's a joke that government doesn't take lightly. And there's some wrongly accused stuff on there also, like saying that he posted the credit card numbers to the website, and that's total bullshit.
Yeah, I haven't been cruising their site much, but that doesn't sound like something they would do.
No, because I used to go to their site a lot waiting for the shell server to come back up, and it was only up for about 48 hours at max. Or no, it was probably up for about 4 or 5 days, but they
brought
it down.
Yeah, I remember getting an email like a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, they took it down pretty fast. I mean, obviously, I think it is that they didn't like it that the shell server was up in the first place, and they were just, tracking them and sniffing around, waiting, and they saw it got destroyed, and they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Hope he doesn't make another one. Rax donates a computer. Within less than, like, a month, it's taken down by the government. So, they obviously don't like it, and it shows how much BS that government prosecutors come up with. Posted credit card numbers on the internet.
This wasn't like an official court document. This was just media.
Yeah, that's
media
true.
Does that with everything.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, they had quotes from the FBI or something saying, "This is obviously a very large hacking operation. We had to go through thousands of bytes of data to see what was going on here. This is obviously a very large organized plot." They make it seem like such a big blown up thing. I mean, it's just something running a shell server. I mean, I can do it right now in my box, but I don't really want to now. I probably am going to set up a war game, though, for the Tampa Bay area.
The only thing I don't understand is, I know that he had logs. I know he did. I can guarantee that he had logs of everything that happened.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about having people use IRC bots, and he'd have a problem with it. He had these crazy logs he had set up. He would log everything. So I know there are logs.
So the
the logs were somehow destroyed by him, edited by him, or they're destroyed by the government, or the government found out that he's innocent and they're looking the other way about him. Either way, there are logs that show exactly what happened. I know this. So, I don't know. just look at the log, see who was doing what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, without getting...
Hey, I'll be right back.
...too mad about this, I'll just go ahead and let that go, because the whole thing was... I don't know if the prosecutors are uneducated, but the media especially, that's just feeding it, they're uneducated. I mean, normal people know about murder and rape, they can understand that, but whenever it comes to computer crime, they know nothing. And I don't see the solution just stopping anytime soon. It's just getting worse and worse. So, yeah. I don't understand.
Alright, I'm back.
Hang on. Through this and go to the next topic, or you got something else?
What, on the hairball topic?
Yeah. One last thing. Freehairball.org, right? Or freelike.org, something.
Free Wally or something.
It's, we'll put it up in the show notes.
Yeah. But, yeah. Okay, next topic.
Next topic is the Linux Technical Resource Kit.
Yeah, you did get that in the mail, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Sorry for the cough there.
It does.
The Linux Technical Resource Kit is something I ordered from the Novell site about probably back in June or something. Ordered this a long time ago. If you wanted to like, check the date on the forums, it was seriously like June. And this is, what, September?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got 2 weeks ago. I was like really surprised. Finally it came. I want to try this out, but I haven't had time to try it yet. They're like full distros. And I don't have a box set up to test stuff on or the time to test it right now. So it's kind of just sitting, waiting, but I can't wait to get into these. It's got some pretty cool stuff in there. I haven't poked around to see exactly what's on it, but... I'll just read the list of some of the DVDs. And yes, they are DVDs. There's three of them, so that's 12 gigs of data. Or is it? Almost 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of stuff. It's got SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 8, Enterprise Linux Services 1.0, GroupLine 6.5.1, Red Carpet Enterprise Server 2.02, Console 1, Linux Resources. And then the other two CDs, I think these are the full distros, Linux, or SUSE Linux Professional 8.2, and I think it's Xiamin, or X-I-M-I-A-N, I don't know how to pronounce that, but yeah, that X word, Desktop 2. Then in the last DVD it has SUSE Linux Professional 9.1, and I really, really want to try out SUSE 8.2 and 9.1. I've been dying to get my hands on SUSE because I hear it's really good for gaming. Two main distros I hear people use for gaming are
I have
SUSE and Mandrake.
A little topic on SUSE, or SUSE, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think it's SUSE. I don't know.
There's a freshman at my school, and he's like, so he wants Linux, and he's begging me to burn him a distro and
give him nothing.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him Nopix when I get back to school, but he wants an installed distro on some old POS laptop running Windows 98, and I don't know what, he doesn't really know what he wants because he doesn't know anything, so I said just give me the laptop and I'll bring it back to you in like after a week with a distro installed.
A week?
Well, over a weekend.
Okay.
And he said, okay, so, I'm probably going to either install SUSE, or whatever, I'm going to try and install Blag, and I'm going to tell you guys what Blag is, because, this is a pretty kick-ass distro, I haven't tried it yet, but I've downloaded it and burned it. Current release is Blag 1000, and, have you heard about this?
I have not.
Okay, I don't think it's very, known yet. Blag 1000, it's based off, what's it based off? I think it's based off, actually, Fedora Core 2, but, don't start coughing over there or vomiting yet, alright, it's based off
the RPM base.
Shit, I don't know, it might be, I have to go research it, but, I'll go there right now, hang on, but, anyway, it's, a distribution made for peer-to-peer file sharing, and all your internet basic consumer needs all packaged in one distro. It installs a clone of Napster, Emule, BitTorrent. It has all that stuff in it. All your browsers, emails, all on one CD. So it's pretty nice and easy. Because, I mean, there is no really Linux distro that comes with DVD players, rippers, burners, CD rippers, burners.
There's no major distros like that.
Yeah, there's no distro that comes with all that stuff in it for that purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this one's pretty kick-ass. And
yeah, I'm all about the single-purpose distros. It's just, they put everything you could possibly need for this one reason.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is why. See, it's Brixton Linux Action Group works to overthrow. Yeah, okay, yeah, it's gonna lose it, but hang on. It's loading. Right now the server's going pretty slow, so I recommend grabbing it by torrent, which I did, and I'm hosting it. So if you do get the torrent, it's pretty good. I'll probably put the torrent up on my web server for people to grab. They can ask me for it. So email me again if you want the torrent. It's, hang on, here it goes. It says BLAG. It's an acronym for Brixton Linux Action Group. Works to overthrow corporate control of information technology through community action and spreading free software. BLAG. BLAG Linux and GNU. BLAG is an operating system, blah, 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 blah. It has a suite of graphics, internet, audio, video, office, and peer-to-peer file sharing applications. If you would like to install and run BLAG, download and burn it to a CD. And it has screenshots, documentation, user quotes, and all that other stuff. I'm checking right now to see if it's RPM based or not.
If you go to Distro Watch, it will tell you.
This says most Red Hat documentation. So I think it's based off Red Hat.
So it's definitely RPM based.
Yeah, I go to Linux. What did you say? What's the website?
DistroWatch.com, and there should be a search bar somewhere, and type in whatever that is. Now, I guess while you're doing that, since we're only looking for like one answer here, I can go ahead and just talk about the next thing.
Alright.
And then you can tell me if it's RPM based, which I know it is.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the next thing I'll talk about is the AIM to IRC bot that me and David Copperfield have been working on. That we sort of completed, but we never agreed on how it would be released. The way this bot came to be was, I was just chilling in IRC one day and got tired of having to switch between IRC and the AIM windows to talk to people. So I had the idea, well, why don't I just make a bot, since I've been making bots for like 2 weeks, I was just making bots for everything. Like, why don't I make one to talk between AIM and IRC? And then, seriously, like 2 seconds later, this guy named The, joins the Tampa channel. We start talking, and like, the third sentence out of his mouth is, do you have a bot to talk between AIM and IRC? And I'm like, well, I'm working on it. So, I sort of started right then, and this was like, 2 weeks ago.
Has this guy ever come back to the channel?
No, he hasn't ever been back to the channel. I think he lives somewhere in St. Pete or something. He was just out of state and just hopped in or something. I don't know. There were a lot of people that particular day that just
hopped in.
Yeah. So the way I started this thing first was to try and get the AIM bot working and then have a command to make it connect to AIM. Now, this would just be one whole bot, and I tried for a day and a half to get to work before I told Dave Copperfield about it, and I gave him my script, and we both worked on it for like a day, nonstop, trying to get the thing to connect to both of them in one script before we decided this isn't going to work. The way it works right now is you run two different scripts, one for AIM, one for IRC. Whenever you send a message to IRC, it formats it all and sends it to a text file. The AIM end is checking that file every second to see if there's any data in there. And then if there is, it grabs data, formats it for AIM, erases the file, I believe it erases the file, and then sends it to the person you designated in the IRC channel. Now, whenever you talk on AIM, it sends it formats, it sends it to another file, and the IRC end is checking every second to see if there's anything there, it does the same thing. Now, the way the bot works, talking to it, I believe we got it working where you just talk on the AIM end, and it sends it to the channel with the bot. Now, the only problem is in the IRC end, you have to type a little bit more, and I think we got it down to just a three-character command, and then you talk. It was, well, it's up in the bot, if you want to read it. It has pretty good notes about how it works. I don't write good notes, and he wrote it, so we should be able to figure it out, but we followed up and got working, and it had some warnings, like, not warnings, but notices that the message was successfully sent or it was in the wrong format. And whenever we both got them working, I decided I want to try and send a message from IRC to my aimbot, from my aimbot to his, and from his aimbot back to IRC. And what ended up happening is I sent the command, and both IRC bots sent the command to my aimbot, and then the aimbot sent two messages back. So it's still, like, just echoed between two different networks and then brought it all back to me, which I thought was pretty funny. Another problem we had is whenever the notices were on and I joined, they both had join messages, and if you typed it wrong, it would say, sorry, I didn't understand it. So whenever I brought the second bot in there, seriously, both of them got flooded off the server within 10 seconds because they were both saying, sorry, I could not read that. It was pretty funny, that too. So, yeah, that's all working and put up on the Binrep forums, and it might be up on David's site, and whenever I get my blog set up, it will be on there, along with the other scripts I write.
Right.
That's the aimbot.
Yeah. I'm probably going to get my own blog set up sometime in the far future, so. Anyway. Still can't get DistroWatch to load.
You want to go into the next thing that actually requires your help?
What is that?
I had a question, sort of a question about how I would go about hijacking an IP at school.
Hijacking an IP at school?
Yeah. Now, I can go ahead and explain the situation. I was just sitting in class, bored out of my mind. And I just thought, well, what if I had a notebook? I mean, I could just be sitting here, cruising some forums with nothing else to do. Then I thought, well, there are some sites that, you know, the firewall kind of blocks, and I don't want to be sending all these pages out and then having all these hits on firewalls and see that this IP just keeps getting raided by the firewall. So I was thinking, well, all the other computers have their own IP, but they're all off. In the room I was in, there was like a whole little network in there. They had their own range that was just for them on the local network. And I was thinking, well, if I had Wi-Fi, could I hijack the IP of the box that was off beside me and mask myself as it on the network?
You can do MAC address spoofing. You can do, IP spoofing, but problem with both, I know it, the problem is for IP spoofing that you won't be able to get replies back. It's like if you ping a computer from a spoofed IP, you're not going to get a reply, so you're not going to know what's going on. So it really depends on what you want to do. If you're trying to brute force a server or doing something from a spoofed IP, it really is not going to do you any good because you're not going to get any of the reply information. When you say hijack an IP,
well, it wouldn't really be spoofing. I would just say that that's my IP and just use it. The other computer isn't using that IP at the time.
Oh. You just want to set your IP as that?
Yeah, just take over that IP for the time that I'm on.
It depends, because it depends if you're using a DHCP server, randomly set internal IPs. It really depends.
I think it's running a DHCP server. I'm pretty sure. I haven't poked around enough to find out. I was messing with Sunbox today, trying to fix some stuff on it, and it couldn't get a hold of the DHCP server, so
mm-hmm.
That's kind of weird. Then it put up its MAC address and died.
See, See, whenever I really want to do something on my school's network, I research it first, and I haven't researched this topic, so, I can't say. I mean, the most I've done on my school network is sniffed the airwaves, decrypted the, password files that I grabbed off the air, messed around in different folders, and
well,
listen,
the only problem with what I was thinking is they would see that the IP that's supposed to not be on the Wi-Fi is on the Wi-Fi, so...
Oh, they don't give a shit about that.
Well, if all of a sudden this thing's getting some crazy stuff on...
But if you spoof your MAC address, they'll never know who it is.
I know, that's not the problem, but if there's only one person using Wi-Fi, and it's me, and I'm using the IP of the box, some boxes, like, across the school, and somehow it's on the wireless network, they're going to know something's up really quick.
So, you don't have wireless laptops in your school?
They do. They have 30 iBooks, but they're not usually being used. I could just go ahead and take over an IP from one of the iBooks.
See, it depends, because every time they restart the iBooks, it might get a new IP. So they really might not know where you're coming from.
I don't think they do.
Because if you restart your laptop or turn it on there, it might assume you're an iBook and just, like, give you an IP. See, I don't know enough about this
to really. I'd have to poke around, and I'm trying not to get in trouble this year, so I don't think I'm going to anytime soon.
Yeah, this is more of an after-show topic. I'd have to look on the internet and give you some links. There is one really, really cool program that's out right now, and it's on wireless technology. It's called AirOwn.
It's AirPwn.
AirPwn, whatever. It's AIRPWN. And it requires a laptop, two wireless cards, and basically the ability to run the program. And what this program does, it's the most kick-ass program, I still want to do this for, like, a prank at my school, is it sniffs, one card sniffs the airwaves, while another one injects packets, with forged headers and stuff to go back to the originally IP that requested the information, so it, like, steals the information, or something like that, but I haven't really researched it, but, so basically it can, replace all image get requests with your own image, or, you can basically just, it's not really taking over the, poisoning the DNS server or anything like that. It's basically just redirecting all the any requests to that one URL. So you could have most any computer on the wireless network that is within range of yours going to Goatsy or any other shock sites of the internet. It's really, really interesting. I'll find a link to post in the show notes. And I really highly recommend that you check it out. Don't get caught with it, though, because I don't want it to be known to the wide public yet. It was released...
They have their own, like, subdomain forum project site, whatever it's called, on SourceForge. It's pretty well known.
Oh, it is?
It's on SourceForge.
It was released at DEF CON.
Okay, well, they have an early beta on SourceForge.
Yeah. But I just don't want, like, the, like, people, I don't know how to say this, like, I don't want, like, it to get fixed, you know what I mean, to get patched.
Yeah, I think I understand.
Like, I don't want,
and I think our four listeners won't cause that.
What?
I don't think our four listeners will cause that.
Right, right, four listeners. So, is this in the show?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. We have more topics.
Yeah.
Shit, how
many? Two topics left.
Fuck. We've been going 45 minutes.
Huh?
We have been going 45 minutes.
Well, one of them is going to take like 2 seconds.
Oh, okay.
And I think you might like it.
Oh.
Way, I'm going to go over this. It's going to take like 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, alright.
Second to last topic is the FreakerBot. Another one of the many bots that me and David have been making for pretty much no reason. We've been making bots just to make bots. And every AIM bot he makes, I make an IRC version. So the FreakerBot is what we're working on now, and it is pretty much just a quick tool for pretty much all of the Freaker's needs. I don't know, well, we haven't finished it yet, so I can't say for sure how it's going to work, but you can use telco data to get MPA and XX and silly code, and maybe, I don't know exactly what all data he's grabbing from it, but I'm pretty sure all kinds of switch info and stuff like that. Also, we're working on super pages, so that you can, like, pull someone's docs if it's a listed number. You just give the phone number you're searching, and if it's a listed number and it's on super pages, it will give the name and address, and, yeah, that's it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, MapQuest for businesses. It's not going to, like, return a map or anything like that. If you MapQuest for a business and give it a city that you're at, it will tell you, like, all of them within 50 miles is what it changes that to, and in the URL you can change it to go within 99 miles. It won't do 100 because it only takes two digit numbers.
I have a quick topic on freaking info.
Okay.
I don't know, but it's pretty basic. I don't know if you know it or not, but Google does have a phone directory. So if you just type in a phone number into Google, it will come up with the name and address and all that stuff. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they just add this?
No, it's been there for a long time. I've known about this. That's how I get your doc so fast.
Well, I knew that you could search phone numbers, but I didn't know that it was that reliable.
Yeah.
It returned some gay stuff.
Yeah.
They would add, like, I don't know, number goal or something.
Yeah.
And just search numbers.
So, I mean, it's a pretty reliable, I mean, I've used it a lot. It's
yeah, we already have Google working on the bot. So you can just Google for a phone number if you want it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good idea. Well, see, it's not returned as an actual link or not. It's just like Google's own phone book version or something.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Back to Superpages, or MapQuest. So if you told it, like, Walmart in Tampa, Florida, it would return every Walmart within 99 miles of Tampa. Which, if you wanted to do Project Walmart Freedom, you could just pick, I don't know, a couple hundred cities around the U.S. that are within 99 miles of each other and get every Walmart. So, yeah, if someone wants to do that, they could always do that. I also did Pizza Hut. I have pretty much every Pizza Hut in Florida. I have a list of that if anyone wants it. Also, I think we were going to add Bell's Mind, but M Theory said that he was going to have the Bell's Mind bot version 2 up soon. So
yeah.
We just opted out of doing that since he's, like, so much better and his bot would own.
Yeah, a comment on the Bell's Mind bot. Whatever asshole flooded that with random data.
That was Planetokus.
It was who?
Planetokus, I believe.
Who the fuck what?
Some guy named Planetokus.
Planetokus?
I think that's his name. Pretty sure. If not, then I don't know.
Whatever. But yeah. Big fuck you to you, so.
Yeah, that bot owned and then it had to be taken down. So that really sucks. It's so awesome just being able to give it six numbers and get all kinds of data back. But yeah. That's pretty much all the freaker bot. If anyone wants to contribute code or suggest things to add to it, either give me an email at a13air@gmail.com or David Copperfield an email at I think it's imaginarynumber@gmail.com. I'll put it in the show notes, his email, if he wants to do.
I also have Gmail invites.
Yeah, if anyone wants a Gmail invite, I have like five left. So just send me an email. I'll give them away to anybody. Time to see the little red thing over there.
I got Gmail invites too. Twirls will get one if he wants one. I don't know if he already has one or not.
Pretty sure he does. Sure everyone on the forums has one now. And I've gone to two other forums just giving them away, and I've given away two to random people. And everyone else seems to have them. So, yeah. Last topic. The Xbox Linux Live Gaming. This is an idea I had like two nights ago. I just couldn't sleep, and I had two ideas. One kind of sucked, and I'm not going to talk about it. The other one is sort of half an idea that David helped construct, and it kind of owns now. And that would be, first it was just a distro, a live CD, something really small that just loads a game. It does everything needed to load a game, say Counter-Strike. So you have the OS, some kind of whatever you need to get the game running, and you turn it on, a minute later, Counter-Strike's running. So when you're done, you exit, and it shuts off, you get your CD back, and that's it. It's portable Linux gaming. You just pop CD in and play. On any system, you don't have to worry about.
That's pretty cool.
They don't have new drivers installed, they need to update the game. You have the game with you, all the drivers, all the OS, uBlock, wherever. He had the idea to change it to the Xbox and use the Gen 2 version, the Gen 2 port for Xbox, so that you have PC games, or very well any kind of game, if you count emulators, that you could play on your Xbox. And since Xbox plays DVDs, they play DVDs, right?
Yeah, it plays DVDs.
Okay, yeah. They take DVDs, so it's, 4 gigs a game. So you could fit Final Fantasy XI in there and you probably couldn't play it.
What correction on the DVD playing? It requires that you buy some stupid little plug-in to play DVDs, but that means that it has a DVD player installed. It's just some crappy firmware in there that won't let you play them, so.
Well, actually, for this, you would need the mod chip, because it's a burnt DVD.
Right.
I don't know what you have to do to get it to boost up from the live CD, but whatever it is, it'd be just like running Gen 2.
Right.
It's some, exploit, some font exploit that he was telling me about. But, yeah, you just make the CD and put it into your Xbox, and there you go. You can play. It's just like a normal Xbox game. You put it in, you wait a little bit, and you have a game going. Now, I don't know what you do about the controller, since I don't know much about the Xbox Linux OS, but it could be done, I guess. And now you can produce your own games and put them out on the Xbox, which you could probably do already, but this is cool because it's Linux. That's what I had an idea for. Now, I don't have an Xbox, and I don't even begin to know what kind of coding that would take to get it to work, but I'd like to see it happen, and if I could get my hands on the Xbox and find some stuff to read to get it going, I'd like to try it.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Linux gaming, portable. Sounds good. And I'm done.
Alright, so I think that's the ending of our show.
How long is this, by the way?
It is 51 minutes.
Okay, did you ever find out if that OS was RPM based?
Nope, the distro watch seems to be really fucking slow. But,
While he's checking that, I'll just go ahead and give out the info for the site if anyone just started listening to the show or whatever and didn't check the site anywhere else first. You can send us both an email at ddmfradio@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail, which we never check it, so yeah. 206-312-8697. That's 206-312-8697. Send me an email at @gmail.com. You can send him an email at cr35du57@gmail.com. Shout out to Kizzle again for hosting the show. We got a new server that rocks. So, yeah.
We got a new what?
Kizzle got a new server, a lot more space.
Oh.
It should rock. Shout out to DJ Mollusk and DJ Sub-Zero. Everyone make sure to pay attention for Geek Club Radio. And I'm out of here.
Shouts to Twirls, and the closing music is the Black Smoke Organization. Later.
Hey Dad, check out this brand new file sharing program I just put on my computer.
That's great, Sean. Where'd you get it?
I borrowed it from Henry during commercials on Channel 1 at school today.
Son, I believe that's against the law.
Sean's father is right. Sharing, including the free exchange of ideas, is in fact against the law. The DMCA, or Digital Millennium Copyright Act of 1998, made it illegal to try to share information. Parents and adults have the responsibility to enforce upon young people the rules set out by corporations and protect the profits that you work so hard to line their pockets with. Kids sharing files is equivalent to walking into a local Kmart store, grabbing a gun from behind the counter, going back to the school, and shooting up the faculty lounge. Parents, adults, and teachers need to be role models for their kids. Help our children understand the potential consequences of software piracy. For more information on how you can turn in your family and friends, call 1-888-960-9600.
This message was brought to you by corporations for corporations.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.